Drunken difficulties. Please stand by. Guys, Games, and Beer will be back in a moment.
That was so funny.
Okay, now
I cannot believe how funny that was, guys.
It's the best
moment. Oh, you never
missed
such a good
moment. You missed
it.
You missed it, guys.
You're never going to be able to recreate that moment ever again.
It's the Guys, Games, and Beer podcast!
Yay! Yeah. Beer Court!
We're doing it in fast forward because we've really already done this and the sound was off.
Okay, so Beer Court, what are we doing
beer
now?
Beer Court, wait, I gotta get the stupid Beer Court thing on.
You said fast forward!
Beer Court!
You said
fast
forward!
Wait, Beer Court!
I'm just gonna slow
okay,
it down.
No, we're in Beer Court.
Well,
no,
Beer Court,
can't see
it's wheat beer. Do you put letters in wheat beer? I don't know.
Now we're just like you.
Now we're just more medium.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You're drunk.
All right, let's
what we've got here is Boulevard Wheat Unfiltered. We made some jokes about the fact that it's unfiltered. Somebody said they swallowed children in the corn. I thought maybe it was a stalk. I'm not sure. Got some seeds. All right, let's do this. Taste it.
I'm halfway done with my bottle. Tell me to taste it.
Nobody knows.
All right. So it is a wheat beer. Not a bad wheat beer.
I think it's actually pretty good.
You know what? I'm gonna give it a thumbs up. I've
just had some really good wheat beers in my life. So my standards.
You like your wheat beer.
I like wheat beers.
I like wheat beers.
So
this was pretty.
All right. This is not bad though.
Four
good, one medium. I mean, that's a solid wheat beer. So if you're looking for a decent wheat beer, it's an unfiltered Boulevard Wheat out of Colorado.
Kansas City.
Someplace not Colorado.
You know, again, good summer brew, probably good drinking. All right.
Judge
Rob, verdict on this one?
Whew. Charge one of being unfiltered dirty bastard. I find you guilty. Charge two.
You are a dirty bastard.
Can't get me drunk. Also guilty. Deferred sentence.
Are you sure? It's only 4 points.
Yeah, you're going to have to try real hard to get drunk on this one. All right, so.
Pass me another one, will you?
Where there's a will, there is a way.
All right, so today we have a special guest, and our guest is...
Hi, I'm Pure Question, or Taylor Miller. I am one of the programmers for Team D13, and we developed a little game called Monolith, which came out about 3 weeks ago, and I guess we're going to talk about that today.
Yes, we are.
Hi, special guest.
Hello.
I mean, we could talk about something else if you wanted to, but we kind of thought you might want to talk about your game.
I'm here already. I wasn't really planning on leaving. If you want to talk about, like, whatever.
He has gone far and beyond to be on the show.
Yeah.
It's almost he has gone through.
Yeah.
He's, like, running out of a generator in a shed somewhere.
Yeah, so he is literally running out of a generator right now so he can actually be on the show tonight.
So thank you for making it to the Grand Old Guys Games and Beer Show.
And if you could see it, you're the delightful black box on the table.
Almost like a...
You are a handsome mahogany box, however.
Yes. With rich, dark tones.
Yes.
I've been keeping an eye on that box you got there. But
So let's talk a little bit about Monolith. Why don't you go ahead and give us the rundown on what Monolith is as far as gaming goes.
All right, so Monolith is a bit of a... The so-called the roguelike shoot-em-up. Kind of like The Binding of Isaac or an Enter the Gungeon or a game like that. Started development in early 2012 and only just recently finished. It's got a lot of cool stuff in it. Got a whole bunch of guns, got a whole bunch of enemies you can shoot those guns at. Got a whole bunch of bosses you can shoot those guns at a lot. And it's got 5-ish incredible floors of pulse-pounding action.
All right.
So not set in the typical fantasy style world.
Now
here we go with roguelike and roguelite.
No,
I tell you start.
No, you start. No, no. See, the problem was if we start talking about roguelike, it's not roguelike.
The best.
In the fantasy sense, it's roguelike and it's a procedurally generated,
well, sure,
play field.
But I'm saying that traditionally, a lot of these games have been in the fantasy
Yeah, no, I think I did. No.
Like we're talking like
I'm,
you know,
I'm
the,
okay with that statement.
The gauntlets.
Yes.
You know, hack
well,
and
gauntlet
slash.
Is not roguelike, but.
But I understand, but I'm talking about the idea of that fantasy world.
Fair enough.
All right. I'm gonna let Drunken Left have this one because I don't want to.
However,
I do not want to drone on
about
some
early examples of it not being because you could set it in space. I mean, there's
right
like the hack games.
Yeah, I mean, we've got like Ghosts and Wizards.
Yeah.
That's true. All right. So
that is absolutely true.
So much for not being in the fantasy realm.
And definitely there's like
wizards are not fantasy realm.
I said so much for it not being in the fantasy realm.
Oh, okay.
It is in the fantasy realm at that point.
Although on the other hand, all the mages are actually also robots.
So
alright, so continue
well,
on.
You know, that's still Final Fantasy, right? You know?
Continue on. So
But the ghosts, those are just ghosts.
Well, there goes the next
space
beer.
Ghost. Yeah, start drinking.
But there are other space ghosts.
This is all going to go downhill from
they're
here.
They're not mechanical ghosts.
All right.
Bring us back around, quick. All right,
we don't, you know, unfortunately, we don't have our buddy here who holds up the roguelite and roguelike and rogue signs for us. I hate the term rogue light.
Light?
Rogue light.
Well, it says on its website, light.
Yeah, I know. But no, I just hate the term because it was added arbitrarily. It came out as kind of a degrading kind of term to say, well, this isn't quite a roguelike. And the problem is, the term roguelike is right, like. What becomes roguelike is very arbitrary. I got into it because I made this comment. I don't think it was on your review. It was on a different roguelite, you know, something that's called a roguelite review. And somebody, you know, said, well, that's not a roguelike.
Well,
that's a roguelite.
Why don't we review the basic?
But, no, well, I'm going to get into it.
Wait. We're going to ramp up.
You know, okay.
We've already gone down this rabbit hole. We have to stay on this rabbit hole.
I want to talk about this pretty game that is super.
I'm going to in a second. I just got to get past it. I got to let it out. Okay. Turn-based is not unique to roguelike. In fact, there is no one particular thing. It's a combination of a few things that make something roguelike. Almost every one of those other of the features that makes a roguelike is in other game genres. It's a combination of them that make it roguelike. They try to pull it from anything that doesn't have turn-based. Here's the problem. Not all turn-based games are roguelikes. Absolutely not. That is not true. Turn-based games have been around since the beginning of freaking time. Chess is a turn-based game. It is not a roguelike. You don't need turn-based to be roguelike.
What
they
if it was procedurally generated chess?
I'd be willing to throw it in there. If it's got permadeath, I'm okay. You know, throw those three in. I'm good enough.
All chess have permadeath.
You know what? Give me any three out of the pool, and I'm really okay with it.
Bring players back onto the board.
Checkers.
Oh, I thought you did chess too.
No. Yeah, just one of your enemies is an ant symbol.
When was the last time you played chess?
Yeah,
I know.
Can't you have to get a pawn to the other side of the board?
When you win chess, don't you get to shoot your opponent?
That's, well, in some cases.
Wait a minute.
Confused with Archon?
No, I'm sorry. I am actually. It's okay. All right. Let's get back.
You promote. Yeah.
Well, you
put a pawn.
Yes, all right. So I'm over the rogue. All right. So my problem with roguelite is it is arbitrary and it's generally used to make it sound like it's a lighter game. However, most of the games that I found that are labeled as rogue lights are just as deep, if not deeper, than many that are labeled as rogue. Have another drink.
Yeah.
Rogue. Light.
Rogue something.
So it's bullshit. It's not light. It's something else. It's an action rogue light.
Right.
But
it's still.
Like shooter right. Like, but it's not
light. It's not a light
in any
game.
Sense.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna die. By the way, in Monolith, you're gonna die in about 3 seconds.
Right. So
you're pretty pissed
there's
off.
There's nothing light about that.
It takes a while to unlock some crap. So.
What's funny is I think one of the most common complaints you've gotten so far is that the game is too easy.
What?
We're also really bad at video games.
Wait a minute. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean the game is too easy?
Well, maybe it's because you keep playing them drunk.
Well, that might be too, but.
I made no such complaint in my review.
I did not think the game was all that easy.
No, I thought it was hard, too.
Well, the problem is a lot of people who do beat it, like, we've gotten a lot of comments from people who are like, oh, yeah, I beat it on my first try, because they've played a lot of these similar games, because this is no longer, like, a new genre. Like, the Binding of Isaac came out 6 years ago. It was a brand new thing. But now all those people who've been playing those games are also the kind of people who are going to find Monolith. So they go, oh, it's a game that's kind of like Isaac. And then they're going to play it, but because they've already gotten so good at Isaac and Enter the Gungeon and these other games, and I'm going to keep mentioning those two because those are who I know. But since they've already gotten so good at those games, they just walk into Monolith and they just smash it in one go.
No, I get my ass kicked all the time.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I did not smash it in one go. So, no, not the case.
No.
Yeah, and that being said, I have not played those other two games, so...
Yeah.
You've not played Binding?
No,
I haven't beat it, so...
Really good. I haven't beat it, it's hard.
But I mean, like, I say that, but I can pull up the stats, and I can look at, like, the achievements and just see how many people have reached how far. And I can see that about 20% of players have beaten Floor 5, and there's actually a 6th floor that you have to, like, kind of unlock, and 5% of players have beaten that. So it's actually not like this overwhelming majority of people.
I would not say that's easy.
That does not make it an easy game at that point. That's 95% failure rate to get to level 6.
Well, to beat level 6.
To beat level 6.
I haven't gotten there yet, you know?
I know, but that's good. You don't want something so easy that you're just breezing through. So, you know, again.
So, one thing, I noticed about Monolith that I really love is it is a very interesting art style you've got going on. Like, what was the design choice? I mean, it's one of those, like, new style, retro kind of games, but it looks very, it's what your mind thinks, like Super Nintendo games should look like, but this is, like, it's nicer.
I mean, I can't really speak to that. I'm not the artist, and he's not actually here. I was hoping to get him on, but he's actually asleep right now. Because he's actually European. He's over in Germany, so it's like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. there.
Was it somebody you worked on with any previous projects, or just somebody you guys
saw? Yeah, I've known him since about 2009. We've worked on a few things and haven't finished them. This is the first game we've actually done a major release of. But yeah, we've worked together for a very long time. The graphical style went through a lot of revisions, and if you actually go back and look at the very earliest versions, there's actually, like monochrome versions of Monolith from, like, 2012.
I guess, yeah.
That like, it got iterated on a lot. And there's a lot of crazy stuff going on with, like, the theming, and we just kind of made stuff up as we went along, which was pretty funny. But we kind of tied it together as we've gone. I don't want to, like, get into too much details, because it's kind of spoilery. But, I mean, you'll see, like, how far have you guys gotten in general?
I think I'm up on 4.
You've gotten to level 4?
I just started, so I'm only on 3.
I was I am playing on a handicap, though. I was playing it on the GPD Win. And there's a problem playing it at least on my GPD Win where I get a little bit of drift in the left stick. And that I played it with Xbox 360 controller on the Win, and it didn't have that problem, so it's specific to that device. It could be specific to mine, because let's face it, GPD's quality control.
You've also gotten a lot of mileage out of that.
Yeah,
it has been beat to hell, too.
Anyway, yeah, so look, we tried to think from a lot of different things. We've both been very big fan of shoot-em-ups for a long time. We both really like roguelikes, too, so it was sort of a natural thing that we mostly stumbled into, but they're actually things we're very good at making. Like, Alex and I, Alex being the other main, the programmer and artist, we're both programmers, he's the artist, and we have another guy doing music, it goes by Arc of Dream. And we're a like, weirdly multinational thing. I'm Canadian, Alex is German, and the musician is Polish.
Huh. So, again, you decided, you started making this game in 2012. I mean, was it just kind of like a pet project you guys had on the side, and you kind of finally got to the point where you decided you'd release it now? Or is it something you kind of worked on when you guys had spare time, or what was that like?
Well, in like early 2012, late 2011... The Binding of Isaac had just come out, and I actually got, like, really interested. I really liked the way the random generation was done in that game, with the, like, grid-based, room-based thing. And I wanted to try and recreate that, but there were some things I didn't like about it. Like, it was, like, the Binding of Isaac is a very rigid structure, where it's, like, branches that never intersect. And I really didn't like that. So I just kind of messed around with that. And eventually it just sort of blossomed into a game. We had a bunch of ideas, implemented them, changed over time. And about 2014, we started, like, really going hard on it. We're like, we could actually probably make a real game out of this.
Okay.
And then we spent the next few years working on it, and finally scheduled it for release in June 2017. And We're actually still working on it now. We actually have a huge update coming out. We're planning it for July 10th. And it's actually going to be called... We're trying to settle on a name. I think we finally settled on After the End as the name of the update patch. And it is going to... Now, none of you have beaten the game, but I will say that the current version of the game ends on a bit of a cliffhanger, and the next patch is going down a hard mode, and is also going to continue some of the story threads.
So you are...
So this will hopefully address some of those complaints about the game being too easy.
Right, so you are going to address those with the patch, all right.
Yeah, and we're also going to add, like...
So it's
going to
be impossible for this group.
Yeah, really. Thanks.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, the patch will also include a lot of rebalances, including major rebalances to the weapons. Fireball was a little too good, so we brought it back down.
I really love actually... Fireball.
Well, I wonder why now.
It was totally working for me.
But we have power-ups on the other things. You actually find that the base gun and Vulcan are quite a bit more powerful in the update.
Oh, nice.
And you'll find that laser is a little bit more powerful as well.
Yeah, again, seeing what people talk about the game, I mean, people seem to really enjoy it for, again, having its roguelike experience as well as being a really good shmup. What would you say to people who might not be as comfortable with those kind of genres? What do you think might draw them to the game?
That's a very interesting question. I mean, all I can say is we've done a really good job and we tried to make Model Earth really fun, guys.
That's the best dance pitch I've ever heard.
Across the board, again, people do say, again, it's well polished,
yeah.
It's fun, and again, it's an interesting experience. So,
if you actually go on Steam right now, we've got over 100 reviews. Every single one of them is positive. There is one review that says not recommended, and the review says, I really liked the game, I'm planning to keep playing it, I just don't recommend it because I don't think it does anything new if you've played all the other games in this genre.
Hmm. Oh, well, if I guess...
So
somebody's picky. Yeah, wow. Yeah. I was just going to say.
So far we're at everyone who plays Monolith loves it.
So is it something that you can... get in like 15 minutes,
oh, yeah.
20 minutes,
oh,
and get out. And I don't have to invest a day into it, you know?
That's the wonder of roguelikes, especially ones that are time-based tests. We tuned Monolith to be a very quick game. A fully successful run through to floor 6 shouldn't take more than about 20, 25 minutes. Floor 5. And in fact, the S rank, the like... If you beat floor 5 or 6, you get ranked on damage taken, time taken. And for floor 5, the high rank is actually for 20, which is pretty doable. So you can actually beat the game in under 20 minutes.
See, we've had this discussion on the show. A lot of us like those kind of games where you can just drop in, play the game quickly, and then get on with whatever else you're doing. You know, it'd be great to have 100 hours to put into a game, but sometimes I just want a game that I can sit down for 10, 20 minutes.
You always want to get him.
Okay, I... No, no. Yeah. All right, yeah, I do, actually. No, it's just...
Yeah, but you... Quickie out.
That's fair.
For 10 hours.
Yeah. I'm okay, I'm a little ADD when it comes to my game.
Play it for 20 minutes for 10 hours.
There you go, exactly. My kind of observation of the game is it looks kind of... To me, it feels like a cross between our type... and Gauntlet.
I find it very funny. Monolith is a game that really, really inspires that kind of comparisons. And if you scroll through the reviews, you'll see so many X meets Ys, but they're never the same two X and Y.
That is interesting, yeah.
We were just having a...
Yeah.
We had a huge conversation about the graphics. I don't think we've ever had such a discussion about graphic style.
To me, they still kind of have that R-type feel to them.
Maybe
they
do.
I'm sorry.
My favorite was the one who said it was Asteroids plus Zelda.
Okay, that's a bit of a stretch. I'm going to put that out there.
Sebastian questions you on your Gauntlet comment.
Who does?
Sebastian.
No. It's, again, levels, procedural generated.
Gauntlet isn't procedurally generated.
Yes,
no, it's the same one,
but it could be. But you have that same kind of room feel to it. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, with the boss monsters in the corner. I mean, it gave me that kind of feel when I played it.
Yeah.
I actually think Sebastian...
Oh, well, in that case, Sebastian,
Play Gauntlet.
Yeah, play Gauntlet.
It's
you're
a classic.
You're missing a classic game here.
It's great.
It's when a bunch of grown men.
Procedural generated.
It's when a bunch of grown men take their clothes off.
No,
not that game of Gauntlet.
Oh, you're talking about
the video game Gauntlet.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
All right. Okay.
Well then. Well,
so besides the cool gameplay and the great graphics, so again I've seen comments people commenting on the chiptune music, and I'm a big sucker for a chiptune in general. Who's the artist who did the music for you guys?
I'll give you a little secret. That's Sebastian in the chat that was asked by Gauntlet.
Gotcha. Okay, Sebastian, amazing chiptunes, but play the game Gauntlet.
Not the game I mentioned.
Not the game he mentioned.
Plus 2 points for great music, minus 1 point for not knowing him.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yes.
Yeah,
but still positive points. And yeah, you still want to have.
Oh, there might be a few more songs in that upcoming update I mentioned.
Oh, great.
Oh, nice, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they've got some new stuff hidden in there. One thing I'm very excited about is so the update that's going to come out. Right now in Monolith, there are 7 weapons in the game. I believe there's going to be 13 or 14 when the next update comes out.
Wow. Okay, so that's besides the other things you talked about, that's quite additional to the weapons.
Was that some stuff you've already had planned? Because again,
yeah.
That could really change the way you play the game for sure.
Weirdly enough, a little bit of it was, but a lot of it was. I've been really hesitant to add more than the initial weapons because we have the keywords things that like changes behavior.
Yep.
And I really didn't want to add anything that I was like, oh, that could just be a keyword. And I kind of loosened up on that a little bit. So right now we've got 4 new weapons added already. I have a 5th one coming soon. And so far I've added a drill weapon.
Oh.
Where you like hold a giant drill in front of yourself and you release it. It launches forward and goes through everything. Railgun, which is sort of a charge up. Very, very fast projectile that goes through everything. Very, very cool. Probably my new favorite weapon in the game. Have any of you watched Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, hell yes. Yeah.
You know the arrow?
Oh, yeah, the whistle. Yeah, yeah, the whistle.
Okay, yeah. If you have a homing railgun, it looks exactly like that.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
I had a pretty good video I posted on Twitter of, like, the screen wrap bouncing homing railgun, and it just like hit the walls, bounced off, zipped through everything, curved around.
That sounds amazing.
I love the crap that you can shoot through walls with.
We have a really rapid fire short range gun called Pulsar, and we have a weapon called Thunderhead that shoots a massive, slow moving projectile that shoots bolts of lightning at nearby enemies as it travels through the sky, through the air.
And all these have like the prerequisite like upgrades, right?
Pardon?
They all have, like, the upgrade.
Yeah, like, the very keyword, yeah.
So it snaps some people through
like
the wall.
I mentioned, like, has the homing and the bouncing and the screen wrap. The drill... Oh, the other thing about the drill is when you're holding it in front of you, it actually, like, enemies that hit it just get stuck in front of you and, like, drags them around with you.
Nice.
And you can get a keyword for it that makes it actually drag enemies with it when it's flying.
Oh.
So you, like, shoot it and the enemy's gonna, like, drag backwards with the drill as it flies through the air. And pretty soon I'm playing at a spear weapon that, like, sticks in enemies and, like, bleeds them out.
So...
And some other things.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've been working this game a long time. What's your, like, background when it comes to gaming? Is there any games you really enjoyed playing growing up, or is it kind of a hobby you got into more recently?
I've been messing around with game design since, like, when I was very young. Like, when I was, like, 13, probably. And I actually started making... I made a bunch of, like, really crappy Game Maker games. And I still am, to this day.
Hobby.
I mean, yeah, your crap games are going to be better than anything Guys Games and Beer can put out. So...
Yep.
You're like a superstar in this world.
I don't know. You haven't seen some of the demos I put out in 2008. in about 2009...
Did you hire some voice content?
Now, Alex and I started on a traditional shoot 'em up called Last Fighter D, which would go on to inspire Monolith in a few ways. That game never got finished, but we've adapted some of the ideas from it, and I might like to revisit that game someday, but we'll see. That game never got finished. You made a few other little things that never got finished. And then Monolith is the first one that finally stuck.
That's because it's pretty damn good.
Yeah, again, how have your numbers been so far on Steam?
Well, you're not really allowed to talk about that.
Ah.
So,
bite my tongue.
But people like it.
Yeah.
So,
But in some ways,
when you say, how has the response been?
Well, I mean, that's really good because of the 100 reviews, they're all positive except for the one douchebag.
Oh, that's just wrong.
No,
that's a thumbs down, yeah.
Yeah, he was
well,
you know,
we're lucky we'll change his mind at the update.
There you go.
The hell is that? It's Monolith.
Oh, you guys are going
sorry, to
the don't play the game while we're doing the show.
You're not playing it.
He's giving us
a little
tune. I'm doing music sample.
Oh, yeah. All right. A little chiptune sample.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
So, the one reviewer is like, I believe I read his review of Clean Sweep from the Bat Tracks, and I was like, you know, it's pretty much the same as Batman, but, you know.
You know, it's funny, he actually uses that character in real life. He actually called, in his review for Monolith, he actually calls it a light Isaac. Back there again.
Yeah, don't go there again.
Well, but I would object to him because of the idea that it's just, you know, you're using a ship combat versus, like, Isaac moves more into that fantasy stuff.
Right,
talking
right.
About earlier.
Exactly.
This is different.
And that's it.
I gotta tell you, I've been sitting here and I got this weird vision of, like, this game multiplayer where you can like jump into other people's dungeon and like sort of like steal their treasure and jump out and they can jump into yours.
I'm already scared of programming it.
Yeah, no, it would be scary, but it'd be so awesome.
And Larry was so funny to cheat. No.
There's one thing that intimidates me, it's online play.
Yeah, right?
I'm just imagining
you're like going through this and you're like firing and all of a sudden another ship shows up and you just starts firing.
The game is tough enough now. I do not need other people coming in and making it harder for me.
And then they steal your soul.
No!
Yeah.
I do not need that.
Oh, and you know there would be that guy.
Oh, there is. There's always
but,
that guy.
Oh, no, the guy that doesn't shoot anything but runs around.
No.
We'd have to implement line of sight though, because it's not funny if you can't hide around corners.
I mean, if it was couch only, it'd be okay, because then you can elbow him.
Because you know that one guy's gonna hide around the corner with the shotgun triple fireball.
Yeah, you know it. Oh, bastard.
Okay, so this is your first big release as this particular group. Anything else coming down the pipes that we should be keeping our eyes open for?
I mean, for the time being, mostly the additional updates to Monolith. We have After the End coming out in 2 weeks, and then we actually have quite a few updates planned after that. We've got a lot of stuff coming, and I'm hoping to keep supporting the game for at least a couple months, maybe more.
Is it going
to
be a paid DLC, or is it a...
No, it's all going to be free updates.
Dang. Thank freaking God!
And in fact, when After the End comes out, we're currently thinking we might put it on sale.
Ooh.
So it'll be, like, extra cheap.
Okay.
But I gotta tell you, you know, the level of content they're talking about, I wouldn't even have a problem with.
Yeah, I mean, they're adding lots to the game.
You know, I mean, it's like when Dragon Age, you know, Dragon Age Origins came out, when they came out with their extra content, that whole extra thing, it was like, I didn't have a problem with, you know, paying extra for that. Because, you're virtually doubling it from what I heard.
Well, and again, with the weapons they're adding on this and the more chiptunes, I mean, they're adding a lot of content.
Adding music is big.
It really is. I'm sorry.
That's not something that's always added.
No, it's not.
It's not even really common.
No, very, very often you just add content without changing the soundtrack. And because this has got such a good soundtrack to it, adding more music to it adds a lot more to the game.
So very generous on your part.
Well, I mean, the new music is going to be like for the new stuff that's being added. Because some of the content is like new bosses. So those are going to have the new custom fight music.
Well, that's true. Every boss needs a new dance tune to come out to.
I mean,
that's true.
I mean, you're not allowed to add a new final boss and, like, not put new music. That's just
right. And, of course, you got to add some quick time events in there.
We'll see.
Oh, wait, Sebastian, I don't think the drill sound was... I don't see anything wrong with the drill sound. Sebastian never done a set. He's
never heard the drill sound.
Yeah. No, I didn't hear the drill sound. No, never mind. I'm drinking too much. Never mind. Continue.
Tom's in the future.
Yeah, I've been drinking too much already. It's okay.
It's been a rough... The crew, by the way, has had a rough couple weeks. It's been...
Couple months! The hell with a couple weeks?
Almost all of us have gone on vacation either together or apart.
We've been slaves driven here.
This is my first day that
I'm
actually going to be able to walk.
I think the only person that's driven a lot of rough.
Vacation qualifies a rough month.
You have not vacationed with us.
Yeah, just watch the Florida episode.
Yeah.
You have a good idea.
I went on vacation with my daughter, and she said, you know what? We did an amazing amount of stuff. But I'm gonna have to sleep for a week after this.
we need vacations from our vacations.
Yeah, we really do. We really do.
We did the drink around Epcot.
Yeah, that was so hard. You guys did it twice. Yeah,
we
had your fault.
We were busy doing the other three parks.
Yeah.
All in one day.
Your fault. We had to do that twice.
Without drinking the whole time.
Yeah, but we were drinking the entire time.
So water and.
All right, guys, do you have any questions that we want to talk about or anything else we want to ask them?
I've only got to play the game a little bit. I'm very excited to try more. And again, it's only $8. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing. It is a beautiful-looking game. It is a beautiful-sounding game, and the mechanics are solid. Like, at the end of the day, and you can get that from what I've seen other people say about it, and you know that from playing just, like, the first 5 years.
But, you know something, you just hit on something, you know, that I'm all about. The mechanics are solid on the game. Yeah. You know, the game can have the best... soundtrack, great graphics. If the mechanics don't play well, the game doesn't play well. This game had solid physics, solid mechanics. Everything worked well. The weapon choices and selections are great.
Nothing lifts to the left unintentionally.
Make everything feel good. Game feel is so hard to get right and so important.
God, yes.
I'm amazing. Go ahead.
I can't tell you. The biggest change we ever made is earlier on in development, you had secondary actives that you could swap out the same way you swap out weapons.
Okay.
And we just weren't having any ideas we were happy with. So we actually cut out that system entirely and just kept the two we liked the best, which were the bombs and the dash. At the moment, the dash was like prime functionality, the game was so much better in every way.
Yeah,
it is almost indescribable. Just how much faster and smoother everything was. You get around so much faster. It feels good. You get to do the Zelda roll everywhere thing. You're just right clicking dash everywhere. It's better than if you just made the player twice as fast because you're doing something.
Yeah.
It's weird how that works.
Yeah. So again, those 3 points. Again, it's cheap and there's content still going to be coming out for it. Like I mean, I don't know what more you can ask for in a game.
Yeah.
Again, it's a shmup and it's a roguelike. It's not going to be for everybody, but again, I think what it does amazing. So,
yeah. And again, as I've always talked about, this kind of game's right up my alley. I like those games you can drop in, play for a bit, walk away from. I don't have the time to sit down and play 20-hour games. I like a game I can play for 10 minutes, I can play for 20 minutes, I can walk away from, come back to later in the day, come back to a week later, drop in again, drop back out.
I do have to say, and again, this is purely from a like selfish nostalgia standpoint, again, growing up in the 90s or whatever, I'm really happy with this trend of these very pretty, yet very old-style looking games.
Yeah.
Like again, you've got this, somebody said, you know, the graphics kind of remind them a little bit of Shovel Knight. Or something like that, but it's like these are way prettier games you ever got to play than the 90s. You know, it's got some actual processing power behind it, and it's just freaking gorgeous. So it gives you that really, really warm sense of nostalgia on the inside.
There is funny about a lot of these games, and there's almost like a fake retro look to it. Like, yeah, it kind of looks like what a 16-bit game looks like.
We Monolith
is
Turbo
not
Graphics
actually
16.
A 16-bit
I know,
game.
But
we decided.
Yeah, we had a little discussion.
We looked at
start.
This.
It really, it does kind of have the TurboGrafx-16.
It does. It has a TurboGrafx-16. Because the TG-16
graphically,
had
graphically.
This big, these
the game flow
graphics.
The game flow was better.
But oh, yeah.
But it definitely has that TurboGrafx-16 kind of feel to it, as far as
I,
the graphics.
I don't know how many 16-bit games ran at 60 FPS.
Well, okay. Yes. All right. You got us on that.
But for the graphics style, it was like, is it Commodore 64? Is it Amiga? We were kind of...
Oh, no, it's way more than
that.
Well,
like,
you don't even think it's...
Hey, don't say way more than the Amiga. I'm just going to say right now.
No.
You'd be amazed what the Amiga
that might be
do.
A little offensive in this group, but...
You'd be amazed if you can do more than Amiga.
You're talking all the shit you want about C64.
Yeah, C64. Yeah. Go ahead and rail on that shit. Leave the Amiga alone.
I thought it was like solidly 16-bit.
I thought it was TG-16.
I haven't obviously like run the palette comparison.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like you have these retro games that are 16-bit. And it's like,
I don't think
Nintendo could have pushed it.
We weren't seeking to look like any specific system or console.
That might be why we couldn't decide.
This is some good high quality pixel art. It looks good. We made it look as good as we could in the time constraints, consistent style, all that stuff.
I gotta ask, what did you use for your development engine?
The game was actually made entirely in Game Maker.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, Monolith is a Game Maker game.
It's no shoot 'em up construction kit. It's a much better thing.
Wow, good job back there, weren't you? You went back.
Yeah, it was originally in Game Maker 8, and eventually we ported it over to Studio.
Nice.
It just plays really well.
Considering the game mechanics, that's freaking awesome.
I like to joke that a Game Maker game becomes good when you can't tell it was made in Game Maker.
Well, I would have never guessed. Again, generally the game mechanics in Game Maker games are not that smooth.
I mean, you say that, but there's a lot of surprisingly good games made in Game Maker.
You wouldn't know they were made in Game Maker because
that's
like they were made in Game Maker.
I think that might be the thing.
Yeah.
That's why I said that.
He raises an excellent point.
Yes.
It's kind of like a guitar. You know, if I pick up a guitar, it is not the same as if somebody who knows how to play a guitar plays a guitar. Yeah.
All right. So.
So can I throw a shameless, very single plug out for this?
Yeah.
All right. So. Ty. From Lords of the Trident. I expect you to check this out because you told me a million times how much you love Isaac.
Oh.
And.
Oh, he'll love this.
He will love this.
I think you should check this out.
Alright.
So.
That was a good plug. Alright. So. If people want to find the game, where can they find the game at?
You can find the game on Steam. You can also track us down at TeamD13.com. It's team-d13.com is our official website.
All right.
You can find us on Twitter at monolithdevs. And I believe that's our main contact, right?
Correct. I'm going to ask, so the game's available on Steam. Is it available anywhere else?
Not currently. We will probably eventually upload it to Itch. We're not currently looking at anything else. We might... I don't want to promise any sort of ports... We've thought about it. Unfortunately, Game Maker Studio isn't really supported anymore, so you actually can't buy any of the porting tools through the official source anymore.
I didn't know.
So we'd have to like do some annoying stuff to port it. And Game Maker Studio never ported to any of the new stuff anyway.
Just checking on your website, you can play this on both PC and Linux, though, on Steam, correct?
The Linux version is... We're still sorting out the Linux version.
Gotcha. So this is a PC-only game, guys.
But, hey, I mean, you can
emulate PC.
Yeah, I was like, it's not going to take a lot of power.
No, if you're right. If you've got a good Linux box or a good Mac, you'll...
The wine.
I'm sure Monolith runs fine on wine.
All right. Rob, you want to go ahead and take us out?
Yep. Oh, I got to give a shout-out real quick.
Right
back at you, Benjamin. I haven't seen him in a couple weeks now.
Which one?
Benjamin. No, not
Thompson. Oh, Jefferson.
Yeah. Jefferson.
Yeah.
All right. Rob, take us out.
All right. Well, thank you very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. This has been an excellently educational episode, I think, by our standards.
We have really low standards, people.
Did you like this episode? Want to see some more? You can check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. But wait!
But wait?
If you want some free gameses, you can go at www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, where we hang out all week long and make stupid comments to each other. And yes, indeed, give away free games on Friday, if I remember. Hey, I was really sick last week, though.
You see a weird post from Guys Games Beer, like, why are you posting?
It's Larry.
Yeah, that's true. No one op there. On Twitter, if you got your Twitter on, it's @GotHat. It's Guys Games Beer, no and. And there are free games on Wednesday when the boss monster gets on there and
gives away.
He often forgets. He has really bad attention deficit disorder.
Yes,
sometimes he'll give away two or three at a time. Just forgot he gave away.
It's like game roulette, you know.
All right. So, you want to check this game out, check it out on Steam. You can just go to Steam, type in Monolith, and you will find their game. It's really, again, great. What I like consider a quick play game, something you can get into without...
It's good looking, it's good playing, it's
great
cheap.
Music.
There's more stuff coming to it.
Right. You can't ask for any more than that. Check them out on Steam.
And links are, of course, below the show. So if you're listening to this on a podcast, read the description. You will see a link below that, which you probably are, because nobody watches this on YouTube.
Wow.
What?
Nobody? We can talk numbers.
Nobody? All right.
It's like a 10,000 to 1 ratio.
I know.
It's not good.
All right, take it out the rest of the way, Rob.
For some reason, no one wants to see our face. All right, I will see you guys next week. Same bad time, same bad time.